real happy to be able to put this together, because this is at your urging over the last couple of weeks as people trying to recover and continue the recovery from Hurricane Sally. You'll text or call in with questions that I have had to tell you, I don't know. I don't have an answer to that, but I will try to find somebody who does. And with this recovery effort, the folks, of course, we talk about the folks with FEMA being very, very important in this, and also the U.S. Small Business Administration as part of this as well. So we're lucky to have Deborah Young with FEMA on and Julie Garrett from the U.S. Small Business Administration today on Midday Mobile to answer some questions. Thanks, y'all, for being on.
Oh, thanks for having us.
There's a lot to get through here. First of all, and I'll start with Deborah. Deborah, describe to folks what FEMA's role is in a recovery. Like, if I stop you in the elevator and I say, hey, Deborah, what do y'all do? What does FEMA do in hurricane recovery?
Well, our main objective is to get people into a safe situation if their housing has been damaged, and also to help replace any property that's been damaged. When the home is affected by the storm.
Okay, so there's a FEMA. And Julie, for the U.S. Small Business Administration, what are y'all tasked with in the wake of a storm or a catastrophe of any sort?
Well, we're the government source for long-term recovery funding in the form of very low-interest disaster loans. And unlike our name, we don't just make loans for businesses. We make loans for homeowners, renters, nonprofit organizations, small aquaculture businesses, small agricultural cooperatives. We help a lot of different people when there's a disaster.
Okay, so if somebody, and we're probably going to come to that, has a shortfall after the storm, needs money to do repairs, get back into business, that's when they contact you.
Yes. So if a homeowner got their insurance settlement and it just wasn't enough to actually finish all their repairs, they could get a disaster loan to make up the difference between what their insurance awarded them and what they actually need. We also cover insurance deductibles.
Oh, that's a question a lot, and we're going to get into that because I've had that question a whole bunch. I do want to go back with Deborah and Deborah Young with FEMA and go for the first question we've gotten here from our listeners. This one, and I've seen it in a similar version from a lot of folks, well, several folks, it said, I was locked out. I was locked out when I tried to get back into my account online at disasterassistance.gov. What should I do now? So I guess this listener, they had gone in once, and now they're going back in, and they said they're locked out.
You know, it would really depend on what the reason is for them being locked out, and I'm not sure what they mean by locked out. Were they able to apply the first time? Were they able to complete the application?
Yeah, I guess it says... I was locked out when I tried to get back into my account online at disasterassistance.gov, which I'm jumping here to conclusions, but it makes me think they do have an account because they're trying to get back in. So maybe they signed up the first time and now I don't know the process. Do you go back in and update information, or what might be the reason to go back in?
Yes, you would definitely have to do that if you haven't provided all of the information when you made the initial application. And, I mean, I wish I had an answer for why someone would be locked out. Perhaps they didn't have their registration number. Maybe they didn't copy it down correctly or don't remember the password that they put in.
Okay, so if they don't have that, so basically, like, so if I get locked out of whatever, something, you know, where I don't have a password, I have a, you know, they'll say, well, forget password, you can click here and get a new password. Does that work with disasterassistance.gov? If they can't get in, is there a phone number or a place to get a new password, or what do they do?
I would suggest that they call the 800 number or helpline and get assistance that way.
Okay.
And that number is 800-621-3362. And they can also, if a person isn't able to access disasterassistance.gov, they can go online and, I mean, call on the telephone and actually do their registration that way.
I'm going to move this question up and appreciate that as an addendum to this one. It's further down the list, but let me move it up right now. What information do I need to have when I make my application?
Okay, a person would need to have your Social Security number, we would need, and that's the only time that FEMA will ask for your Social Security number, is when you call us to register. If anyone calls you asking for that number, then it's possible that that would be someone who's trying to scam you. So don't give that number to anyone unless you're calling yourself to register.
Good point.
You need the location of the damaged home, and also the address where you're living now if you're not able to live in that home, the phone number where you can be reached. You'd also need to have your... Oh, boy, I'm drawing a blank.
All right, we can come back to it. If they go to the website, they can see all that right there, right? What they need
right.
to have.
Okay. Actually, here it is. We need your insurance information. That's what I was trying to remember. And a description of the damage that your home sustained.
Okay.
And also, we'll ask you at that time for your banking information, your routing number, and your bank account number, because we do deposit funds directly if you are found eligible for assistance.
And once again, the safety here is when we call y'all to do this. Don't give this information
right.
if somebody solicits us, but when we call y'all, then we know we have the right place.
Right. And if anyone needs to call from FEMA, they will already have your registration number. Guard the registration number like you do your Social Security number and banking information and all of that. Don't give that to anyone as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. So learned a new thing there. This one is going to be a follow-up for Julie Garrett with U.S. Small Business Administration, because I heard you talking about it a second ago. This question from Tom. What resources are available to pay my high deductible? Julie, you're there? I think we may have lost Julie. Okay. Well, and let's see. If y'all can work on getting Julie back, we'll do that. Let me go. There we go. I don't know what's happened with Julie, but there we go. You know what? If Julie calls back in the booth, let's path her through. Continue our conversation with Deborah Young with FEMA. So you may not. Do you have an idea on that one? What?
Well, yes. Small Business Administration disaster loans are designed to fill in some of those gaps where FEMA assistance, you wouldn't be eligible for FEMA assistance for certain things. Like the deductible, like replacing, say, a car, or if your home has an extreme amount of damage, FEMA is limited to giving you grants for just to give basic repairs to your home, and possibly housing assistance if you are unable to live in your home. And there's also rental assistance for homeowners and renters as well who are out of their home, and say your home is severely damaged and you're going to have to be out for 6 months. There may be rental assistance available for you to stay somewhere else while your home is being repaired. And with renters, of course, you're going to have to move out of your damaged apartment, so you would possibly qualify also for rental assistance.
Okay, and Julie is back on with us with U.S. Small Business Administration. We're stealing some of your thunder, Julie. Well,
I heard Deborah; she did great.
So y'all,
oh, thank
are,
you.
So those SBA loans. So y'all kind of, it sounds like, work together. I mean, places that FEMA doesn't cover, SBA can fill in.
That's absolutely true, Sean. And another thing that happens is FEMA will refer people to SBA for a loan. People will think, I don't want a loan. Why is FEMA doing that? Well, you go through our process, you apply. If you don't get the loan, we send you back to FEMA for additional grant consideration. So that's just part of the process of applying for federal disaster assistance. When FEMA says go to SBA, don't worry, we're not trying to give you a business loan. We're just seeing if you can afford a loan or not. And if not, we're sending you back to FEMA.
Okay. This may be a question For both of y'all, navigated, whoever wants to take this, let me know. So this person, I'll redact the name, is a CFO of a group of restaurants here along the Gulf Coast that have locations mostly in, I guess they're all in Baldwin County. Said, I'm trying to find out what FEMA aid is available to my employees at our various restaurants, as well as if they are eligible for unemployment.
Okay. If their home was damaged from the storm, they might be eligible for assistance that way. I know the state applied for disaster unemployment, and I'm not sure if that has been approved or not. I would say, you know, contact your state unemployment office and ask them. And okay. As soon as I find out that information, I can make sure that you get it and can get it out to people.
Okay. So that would be for the fee. And Julie, is that the same from SBA?
Well, Sean, if they're renters, they can borrow up to $40,000 to repair or replace their damaged personal property. If they're homeowners, they can borrow up to $200,000 to make repairs. So it just depends on their situation.
All right. So this is going to be, once again, where they... We can't do a like one size fits all for all this. People are going to have to navigate that.
Exactly.
All right. Billy asked here, I applied for insurance. Maybe I understand that. He said, I applied for insurance, got denied, applied for FEMA, and got denied. I have wind insurance, and I have regular homeowners. So I don't know. But he said he got denied, applied for insurance. And I guess his insurance company denied him, and he said, I applied for FEMA and got denied. What do you tell Billy?
Well, you know, it really depends on what the damage was. If he had flooding damage in his home and he doesn't have flood insurance, most homeowners' insurance policies do not cover flooding. So, and I'm not sure why he was denied by FEMA. One thing I need to tell everybody, if you get the letter from FEMA saying that you're denied assistance, you need to read the entire letter because it will tell you why. And many times it's just because there's a piece of information that's missing. And for example, we would need that insurance denial to know what your insurance is going to cover and, or not cover. I don't know what else he may have not given to FEMA with his application that would cause it to be denied. But read the letter carefully when you get it. A lot of people see denied and then they get upset and don't read the rest of the letter. But many times it's an easy fix for people just to send in that additional information.
Yeah,
and if you still have questions, call the 800 helpline and let them walk you through it as well.
It's like you're clairvoyant here because that's what is coming in on our text line. Like Dan and Daphne said, I immediately filed for FEMA help and was instantaneously denied without reason, instead that I could do an appeal letter, but how do I know what to appeal if I don't know why I was declined?
You know, again, I would say call the 800 number and ask if they haven't received a letter in the mail. I mean, obviously a letter in the mail is going to take a few days to get there, but I would definitely call.
So, I mean, it sounds like that a denial letter isn't the end of the road. Am I
no.
correct?
So absolutely not for most people or for many people.
So apply again. Try to see what... So
well,
it's
technically called an appeal.
Appeal,
and
yeah.
Whatever your reason is for them denying you, if it's something that you can rectify, if there's a piece of information that you can give to FEMA, we encourage you to definitely do that as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people in this denial. This texter said, good afternoon, applied for FEMA, was denied, had to travel to Georgia with four children who need power due to breathing issues and machines, and we were denied. So that's something to reapply?
See, yeah, and it's hard for me to really
appeal.
Know what the entire situation is in that case. Yeah.
Right, a lot of this. What about rental properties? Does FEMA help or the SBA?
SBA helps with rental properties.
Yes.
So FEMA and SBA, just, you know, the residential help is for people's primary residence. But if you have a rental property, if you own rental property and you are renting it out and you put that income on your taxes, you can apply for a physical disaster loan from SBA to make repairs. And you can apply for economic injury for your lost rental income during the period when all the construction is occurring.
Okay, so that in that situation, for somebody who has rental properties, that is SBA. That's not even a FEMA thing. Go to SBA.
Right. If you are a renter, you can apply for up to $40,000 for your personal property that was damaged. So that's if you're actually renting.
I'm looking at this question here, and Deborah, maybe it, for FEMA, it says, I live in Baldwin County, and I and a bunch of people that I know in Baldwin County have been denied from FEMA. Why is there such a high amount of people being denied FEMA assistance? I don't...
And, you know, again, it's hard for me to answer that question without knowing the individual circumstances of each individual's application. And again, if they don't get the denial letter and it doesn't tell them what to do, I mean, which they will definitely get it at some point, but call and ask what they need to do.
Okay, because, yeah, I'm seeing a lot. So, and I've got a ton of people here talking about their stories of denial, but you're saying just because you get that denial doesn't mean you can't appeal. And somebody's saying the appeal process is hard.
I don't believe it's that hard. I mean, like I said, whatever the reason is, if there's a piece of missing information or you can, fax something in or email some type of documentation into FEMA, then, you know, possibly you would be eligible for assistance after that.
So is it, you can't put your finger on all of it, but it seems like in some of these you're describing to me, Deborah, that it's like clerical sometimes. It doesn't mean the essence of the claim is going to be denied. It's something clerical.
It's possible. Well, I'm not sure what you mean by clerical. But.
Well, I mean, if I didn't send it, I didn't check this box, I didn't send the other thing in, was denied, but it's not at the essence of it. It's that you may need more information. And you're saying is, if we get those denial letters back, does it say in there, hey, you need to get me XYZ?
Well, it will tell you exactly the reason that you were denied. So if, for example, I always use insurance. If you haven't sent in your insurance claim information or haven't yet heard from your insurance company as to what they may or may not cover, we wouldn't be able to approve you because FEMA does not duplicate benefits. So until we find out exactly what you're going to get from insurance, we wouldn't be able to approve you.
Okay, this one here is specific. I've gotten a lot of the latest question here, but I've got several of these. It's Fred says, I was denied for generator and chainsaw reimbursement because FEMA said I didn't have the necessary documentation. I had to reference their document ID numbers that were uploaded already. If somebody was a chainsaw or generator, we've heard a lot of talk about that. What do you tell folks?
You know, I would tell them to call the 800 helpline. If they've already given the information that the letter is saying they haven't given, I'm not sure, you know. Yeah, it's frustrating to try to answer these.
Right, there's a lot of specifics in
it. Every situation is so different and so individual. I have no way of knowing what their
Understood.
Individual situation is.
Understood. What about that in the general sense? Can things like generators and chainsaws, they do fall under assistance?
They possibly could.
Okay. All right. And Julie Garrett with U.S. Small Business Administration, this one probably, well, specifically for you, because Patty says they had a fraudulent SBA disaster relief loan in their business name, or one of their partners in the business's name. We called the SBA. They said they would try to flag the account. We were told to call the Inspector General, which was done, but we were told to leave a number on their hotline, and we would get a return call. That was 48 hours ago, and we've not received a call. So who would they circle back with, Julie? Who, if they have the, this? Here we go. Here's the fraudsters.
Yeah. I would write to FOCE-help@sba.gov for a fraud issue like that.
Again is FOCE.
Uh-huh, and then just the little hyphen, you know, the little dash, mm-hmm. and then the word help@sba.gov.
Okay. And that's for the fraud. So, because, yeah, these people are going, holy cow. You know, I mean, if we hadn't been hit enough here from the storm, now they're... Now somebody's trying to defraud, you know, and put them in it.
Yeah. Sean, I want to mention to people who are listening that SBA disaster loans cover things that insurance doesn't. It covers things like decks, fencing, your driveway, washouts. Like if the water came in and like really wrecked your yard and now you have to like bring in dirt to fix it, that is covered under SBA disaster loans. Piers, boathouses, seawalls are also partially covered. So I just want people to know that if they're applying to their insurance company and there's a lot of stuff that isn't being covered, it might be worth it to them to apply to SBA and just see what could be covered under our loan program.
So it's worth checking that out. There's a lot of people here that might have not even thought about that being an option. What, and SBA loans come in at a low rate of interest, correct?
Yes. The interest rate is as low as 1.188% for homeowners and renters right now. That's very good, 1.188. So if you round it up, it's 1.2%.
Very good. There's a world of questions coming in now. The the surge, is coming in with these questions, but I know most of them will have to be directed specifically because I got questions about food lost or things like that. Does that fall under FEMA or SBA or either of y'all?
We don't cover food losses.
Okay. Best thing
if
to do.
If you are a business and you lost your food, like let's say you're a restaurant and you lost the food in your freezers and stuff, that would be under the physical disaster loan.
All right. So that gives people an idea of which way to go. Once again, before we wrap up here, we got the hard news coming up. Can you give the best way, and Deborah first, the best way to contact FEMA? What do you want people to do right now that have a question about FEMA?
I would say call our helpline, 800-621-3362. And if you haven't registered yet, you can register by calling that number, or you can also go to disasterassistance.gov and file your application that way.
Very good. Julie Garrett, U.S. Small Business Administration, where do they go to get, what's the best way to get through to y'all?
Sean, they should go to disasterloan.sba.gov. They can see the loan application online and apply online. And we also have an 800 number staffed 7 days a week, just like FEMA's. Our 800 number is 800-659-2955. 800-659-2955.
Deborah, Julie, thank you for your time. Thanks for being on with us.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, there you go. So some of the questions answered and some direction to take those questions going forward.